The Ron Van Dam Show is not the only cool and entertaining thing that Ron does. He also, well, there's the thing that, no, wait, that's not him. Damn. I guess this is it. It's a good thing someone's listening. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you very much.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. Thank you for showing up. It's the least you could do. You don't have to do anything. You just sit down and listen to the damn thing. It's not like you have to scratch off numbers off of one of those lottery tickets. You don't even have to do that. You don't have to go shopping. You don't have to do it. Just sit there and be quiet. You know, a lot of people say that listening to this show is actually a good mental exercise for you. It keeps you sharp, and which isn't true. It's not true at all. Happy President's Day to you. Did you get flowers? A box of candy? What the hell? Then why even have this? It is President's Day, and I got my loved one a brand new mattress. Because isn't that what you're supposed to do on President's Day? Aren't you supposed to buy a mattress? Am I wrong? President's Day is also selling cars. You buy a car on President's Day, you know, just because they tell you to. And I saw a commercial on TV for a car dealership, and they said, come on down, it's President's Day, time to buy a brand new car, and we have one in stock. All right, that's enough. That's enough. I said that's enough. Oh, I said something to my wife last night that pissed her off. Oh, first of all, I reminded her that we were married. That pissed her off. No, I'm kidding. She was talking about something incessantly and getting upset about it, and I saw that she was getting upset, so my natural reaction was to calm her down. But unfortunately, I used those words in doing so. Big, gigantic mistake. You never tell a woman to calm down. For some reason, they don't like that. There's a long list of things that I'm not supposed to say, because if I do, it's at my own peril, and that is going to be a problem. I carry the list with me in my pocket just in case I ever need it. Before I say something, I pull out the list and I check to see if what I'm about to say is on the list. If it is, I don't say it. I don't say anything even close to it, anything that even resembles it. But last night, by mistake, I said, oh, calm down. Oh, my God. My clothes are on the lawn. They were burned and ripped. It was like, whoa. All I said was calm down. She said, no, you said it again. Oh, no, now I'm going to have to kill you. It's just very, don't ever. If someone tells me to calm down, my response is, okay, I don't mind. No, you can't do it. You can't do it. How honest should you be with your loved one? We always talk about honesty on this show. I never talk about that. What am I saying? You're supposed to be honest in a relationship. You're supposed to be transparent like scotch tape. Where did the scotch part of tape come in? Did Scotland invent transparent tape? I don't think they did. I haven't Googled it because I refuse to Google, as you know. I refuse to sit in front of a machine and ask it questions. It's embarrassing, and also I might get the wrong answer. I have to look at all the answers and just weigh out and average them out, and that would be my answer. So I don't look things up on Google anymore. So what I do is I just make things up. But seriously, I don't make things up. I don't know where scotch tape came from. What difference does it make? All I need to know is where scotch comes from, because scotch and soda, not a bad thing to calm me down. Anyway, you're supposed to be transparent in a relationship. You're supposed to be honest, never lie. Always be up front. Always talk about things because you have nothing to hide. If you're in a relationship, you have nothing to hide except your secret bank account. But beyond that, you have nothing to hide. So when my spouse says to me, do I look good in this? I don't know what to do. She's never said, do I look fat in this? Because she knows. She's a smart woman, and she knows you don't ask questions like that. You just don't do that. But she asks how she looks in certain things, and my response, unfortunately, is a lie. No, it's not a lie. Actually, it's true. She says, how do I look at this? And I say, you look good in everything. Look, just in one pocket, I have all the things that I should never say. In the other pocket, I have a list of all the things that I should always say. And that's one of them. No, you look good in everything. Please, make a list. Check it twice. You're going to find out who's naughty and nice. Stuff it in your pants and make sure the list is always available for you. Because failure to use the list will cause great harm to you and your possessions. I'm serious, man. We're not honest people. We're not honest. We're not honest people. I've talked about this before around the holidays. Today's a holiday. What the hell? We lie to our children, and yet our children don't hold us responsible for the incredible lie that we've told. And it is a conspiracy because the Santa Claus thing, as you know, and I've talked about this before. I've talked about everything before. What the hell am I talking about? The entire world is in on that conspiracy. Lie to your children. Tell them that there is a gigantic white man, fat white man in a beard, who brings presents to your house, comes down your chimney, even if you don't have one, and leaves presents and has reindeer, flies through the air, goes to every single house. How stupid do these children have to be? The only people that would buy that story would be young children who have no freaking idea what the hell you're talking about. Children are so gullible, man. Why can't a child just like even 4 or 5 years old go to their parents and say, hey, you know, you're full of shit. Because they can't curse, that's why. Yeah, their first word should be mommy, daddy, and you freaking liar. Those should be the first things you hear out of a child. And we carry on this fable about Santa Claus. Oh, my, carry it on. Tooth fairies leaving money under your pillow. You think that's real? You think anybody will leave money under your pillow ever? No, they never. They'll take money out of your wallet while you're sleeping, but they'll never put money under your pillow. The Easter Bunny walks around with a basket with chocolates in it. Come on, man. We lie to our children. And then when the children find out from their friends that that was all a fable, children don't blame us. They should be so pissed. They should remember that the rest of their lives. Do you love your parents? Well, those freaking liars? No way. They lie to me all the time. Hey, don't run with scissors. You could fall down and put your eye out. That's not true, because you lie to me all the time. Yeah. Parents tell their children to be very, very careful. Be very careful driving. If you can get in an auto accident, it's just first time you're driving. You got your permit now. You be very, very careful driving. I don't have to be careful driving. You always lie to me. You're lying to me about being careful. You're setting them up. But for some reason, children just forgive that lie. They do. It's like Republicans forgiving Trump for lying about. All right, let's not go there. Yeah, we're a bunch of liars. So what happens when you're in a relationship and your other person there in your relationship says to you, how do I look in this clothing? You lie your ass off. I guarantee it'll be worth it. Transparency, my butter. No way. Don't be transparent. Be smart. I don't lie, so I get into a lot of trouble. People who lie get in trouble. People who don't lie get in trouble. Bottom line, we all get in trouble. That's why I carry the two lists in my pocket. Left pocket, things you never say to somebody. Right pocket, things you should always say to somebody, no matter what the question is. Here's another thing that's on the list of things you should always say. And I use this phrase all the time. Whatever you want. Some people find that to be condescending. As condescending as it is, it works. Whatever you want.
Should we go shopping now?
Whatever you want. Whatever you want. It works, but it isn't really nice to say. It's a little bit like you're a pain in the ass. Just let's do it and shut up. That's really what it means. But when you hear that whatever you want, you don't want to make a stink about that. You just go with it. But don't ever say, calm down, take it easy. Don't ever do that. That's why I don't get a massage. These hour-long massage things are way too long. An hour lying on a table for an hour, staring at the floor while somebody's doing things on my back. I don't know what they're doing back there. Maybe there's the massage person's partner going through my wallet because I'm face down. I can't tell. I don't know what's going on with my face down on a table for a whole freaking hour. No, I'm sorry. No. I usually have to pee after 45 minutes, so it's just a holding in exercise. So no, I don't like massages, as you probably know. I've said that before. But if a masseuse said to me, what if I were a woman and a masseuse said to me, all right, relax, just calm down.
What did you say? What did you just say to me?
Oh, I could never be a masseuse. I may say that by mistake. That's on my list. All right, fine. How you doing today? It is President's Day. You are obliged to go out and buy something. All the stores are open, hoping you'll buy something. Anything. Hopefully a mattress. Why are mattresses so expensive? They don't do anything. It's just a lump of material that you lie on. It comes in various firmnesses. That's not a word. Various firm conditions. But I don't know why it's $2,000 for one of those things. I'm not, because you use it every day. Is that why it's so expensive? What the hell's going on with that? Mattress should be like, you should buy a mattress like every 6 months or something, and if they make it cheap enough, people would buy more mattresses. I spent $2,000 for something. I mean, I'm paying off my car. That's not so bad. I'm trying to pay off my mattress. That's financially killing me. Wow. But this is Mattress Day. President's Day is mattresses because, as you know, presidents slept all over the place, especially Washington. He was on a lot of different mattresses, and thus the mattress purchases. I don't know. I don't know how that works. I don't know how it became such a mattress day. I don't know. I don't say there's a holiday and you go out and you buy a mattress. What's the holiday for going out and buying ballpoint pens? Is that Flag Day? I don't even know. I don't even know anymore. Silly. So go out and buy something today. It's President's Day, and that's what presidents were for. We had presidents, so you'd buy something. When I think presidents, I think mattresses. Yeah, how's President Bush doing? Which one? Oh, the younger one, comparatively younger. How's he doing? I don't know, but I feel like buying a mattress. I have no idea what that's about. Man. I have an interesting guest coming up talking about relationships, by the way. It's important that we have a good relationship with somebody, you know, even a checkout person at the supermarket, somebody. Got to have a relationship with somebody. It's a good, maybe your bartender. It's good to have a relationship good with, because every once in a while they'll buy you a drink even though they're not supposed to. I go to bars where the bartender is the owner of the establishment. You get a lot of free drinks that way because they can do that. A bartender in a regular place where they're just an employee, they can't buy you drinks. They just can't do that. But the owner of the place, who is also the bartender, go there. All kinds of bennies going on there. Would you like a free drink? Let me buy you a drink. Oh, you just said something magical. Could you say, that's on the list. That's on the list of things to say. Oh, you can't go wrong with that. Oh, give somebody something for free, they will love you forever. That's a fact.
Ladies and gentlemen, please prepare yourselves. It is that time again for Ron's Fact of the Day.
Oh, things for free. On the top of the chain of good things to do and say. Can I buy you a drink? Oh, no, that's okay. What are you crazy? But I don't drink. You drink that thing. First of all, don't turn them down. They're making an offer. Don't say no to an offer. You shouldn't do that. That's wrong. Always say yes to an offer. What if it's for sex? Say yes. All right. Anyway. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. To be honest with you, if I say something, don't pay attention to it. We're going to take a break and learn about how we can have a successful relationship. I have no idea, but we'll find out together. But first, this.
Looking to try somewhere new for dinner tonight? Come to that bar near your house with a new chef out on work release, ready to tempt your taste buds with delicious specials. Start off with deep-fried meat and cheese things, crispy on the outside and nearly warm on the inside, with a house-made dipping sauce that's almost certainly just mayonnaise and ketchup. How about a pepperoni pizza served hot and fresh out of the supermarket? Or the big quarter-pound hamburger cooked just the way you like it, as long as the way you like it is well done or inedibly raw? Order a local craft beer from a wide selection that includes IPAs, and of course, IPAs. And when you're ready for dessert, the bartender can point you to some place that actually does that kind of thing. Ready for dinner? Head to that bar near your house. Not too far to drive, just a little too far to walk. We'll see you there.
Hi, Emmy. How are you?
I'm doing great.
You sound like you're doing great there. Emmy Sims joins us now. A little bit of pleasure. I could use that, certainly. It's a great
Everybody
book.
Everybody can.
Of course they can. It's just what the doctor ordered, as you say. We're talking about romance and relationships, and you're an expert in this field, I understand.
Kind of. I've been doing it for a long time. I've been doing it for over 40 years.
Oh, well, that's an expert to me. Doing anything more than 10 minutes is an expert to me. So that's pretty good. This is under the category of intimacy mentoring. What exactly is that?
Well, I mentor based on my experience, my strength, and, mm-hmm. and how I have come out of several bad marriages, mm-hmm. how the tools that I used, I give them the tools to help them.
Okay.
The difference between a therapist versus a mentor, a therapist spends a lot of money on education and a lot of books, mm-hmm. but they don't share their experience.
I see.
They're, and that's the difference for me.
So it's information by example.
Exactly.
All right. Interesting. Yeah. You know, that's more effective because when someone tells you their experiences and you know that it worked or it didn't work or something like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's like sharing a recipe.
Yeah. You know, it is like sharing a recipe. See, you're talking about something that people do not talk about. And that's always an interesting thing because intimacy and romance should be in relationships, but yet we don't discuss this with our friends. We don't discuss it, certainly not with our parents. Oh my God. And not even with your partner most of the time. So it's a very interesting phenomenon.
It is so filled with shame and guilt and dread and hell. it stymies, especially women, much more so than men.
Really? Okay.
Yes, much so more. You know, men can scratch themselves at any time during the day. It doesn't matter where or who.
Okay.
If a woman did that,
yeah.
The heavens would part.
That's a different thing. Yeah, but not
it's
to say that
not acceptable.
But not to say that men scratching themselves is acceptable either, as far as I'm concerned. It's just something that they get away with.
They do, and I'm not saying it's bad or good. I'm just saying that even though the rules are all the same, they're interpreted differently for different people. And I'm not saying the rules are bad.
Yeah.
But the way we internalize things and the way our mothers, primarily our mothers.
Yes.
I wasn't allowed to wear anything but cotton pennies underwear because I would be a bad person. I wasn't allowed to wear hoop earrings because that made you a whore.
Yeah.
I mean...
well, times have definitely changed.
My mother
changed.
Had...
Yeah.
Well, kind of.
Yeah.
I don't think we're far from it.
No. Let me ask you two questions, Emmy. First of all, when we go to the movies, in every single movie, whether it's a comedy, espionage, drama, no matter what, somebody goes to bed with somebody, and there is a romantic sexual scene. And I think for many of us, we expect that in life, that happens all the time when you meet somebody or something clicks. And and if that doesn't happen to you in your life, these romantic scenes that come out of nowhere, then there's something wrong with you. Do you find that to be the case?
That is absolutely the case. There was a show on TV, a doctor show, and of course they've been Googling it over the surgical table, and then they got into the locker room, and he threw her up against the locker,
that's
and I
right.
thought, well, she'll never walk again, because he just put that thing in the middle of her back, and we do. It's no different than Father Knows Best. We try to, that's how family should be.
Right.
You know what I mean? And we do that, and it's not real.
Good.
But the thing that I would like to impart with you is that adult films, toys, negligees, lubes, all of those things. It's a $15 billion industry a year in the United States of America.
Yeah.
Somebody's buying it.
Somebody's buying
watching it. But we can't talk about it.
Yeah. And how do you, I mean, and then there was the movie 50 Shades of Grey and the sequels that made it, not necessarily acceptable, but to point it out that you can have some wild experiences and fantasies and have fun with it. How do you know if somebody else? How do you know if somebody else is into it until you embarrass yourself by asking them?
Conversation. Communication. Even with your longtime husband or wife.
Yeah.
I find that most men want to please their women.
Sure.
But women are too embarrassed or too, they're scared.
Yeah.
Because they're afraid they'll get mad.
Yes.
They're afraid they'll hurt his feelings.
Yes.
But you can have some of that kind of sex if you're adventurous.
Mm.
The books were much better than the movies, though, to tell you the truth.
Okay. It's good to know.
And the books, Ron, changed women's lives because it excited their mind, which is their biggest sex organ.
Yeah.
And gave them permission to try something different.
Yeah, I mean, it can be a whole nother life if you engage in that. And there are other marriages and relationships, girlfriend, boyfriend, where all the excitement seems to go away after a fashion because of the longevity of the relationship. And I guess that's something that you hear about a lot, is that the magic is
a lot.
Starting to decrease. How do I get the magic back if it's not there?
I think a couple have to make a decision that our relationship is more important than school, soccer, children, parents. Mm. And they have to do a little work. Any relationship, whether it be friendship or any relationship.
Yeah.
It takes effort and time and education. You don't learn something new without doing a little study, a little research. And it doesn't take a lot to get those juices flowing again. This takes a little bit of time. I always recommend date night and make it. And you can't talk about kids at work.
Yeah.
We have to cultivate a different conversation with the person that we spend our nights and days with.
You're absolutely right. I could talk to you for hours, but I'm not allowed to by law, so I can't do that. But there is a book.
Wow.
It's a little bit of pleasure.
Oh, yes, thank you.
And it's available everywhere.
On Amazon primarily, and they can reach me on alittlebitofpleasure.com. They can send me an email at emmy@alittlebitofpleasure. If they want to talk to me or want some mentoring, we can exchange through emails a telephone number so they can reach and talk to me. I am available. I am reachable. And it'd be my pleasure.
That sounds great.
To help anyone have a better sex life.
You know what your book also does, which I may recommend, is that if one buys the book and just leaves it on a table somewhere in their house or their apartment, your partner might just say, oh, what are they doing with this book? Or they may open it up and start looking at it. And that may actually break the ice for more of an interesting, intriguing relationship simply by having the book in the room. I think it's a great icebreaker.
You're right. And I did a brochure last year, sent it to a therapist and psychiatrist, suggesting that they recommend my book so their clients could talk to them.
That's right.
I've had seven therapists thought that tell me that it did help.
Yeah.
It does help.
It does. And the title kind of brings you right to where you're supposed to go. A little bit of pleasure. We could all use
bit.
It. A little bit. No, it's not overboard, but a little bit. It opens the door for more pleasure.
Then you get a little more.
That's right. It's a door opening is what we're talking about. Emmy Sims, alittlebitofpleasure.com. Is that correct?
That is correct.
All right. Pleasure.
And my name is spelt with two capital letters, not
yes.
E-M-M-Y.
Right. Capital M, capital E. Sims, a little bit of pleasure is what you're looking for, though, literally. Thank you so much for your time today. It has been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron. You have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that'll do it for me today. You have been wonderful. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. How does he do it? I don't know. Okay? What are you doing Tuesday? Nothing anyway, right? I'll see you tomorrow. I wish you peace.